he's the father to the fatherless, being somebody that is in their lives that just shows them who the Lord is, who leads them back to their identity in Christ. That's really where they start to find their solid foundation. So many of the kids in foster care have never even seen what a father looks like or a family looks like.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. Welcome to the show dedicated to helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world. My name is Jared DeNaro, host of the Morning Star Bright Lights podcast. And to all the bright lights out there shining bright with the light of Jesus Christ, thanks for listening in. So glad you could join us. Today's feature conversation is with Kim Gagne, co-founder with her husband John of Bags of Hope, a project of One Less, the orphan care ministry of His Providence Church in Swansea, Massachusetts. Kim and I talk about the great need when it comes to foster children finding their forever home, and the ways that Bags of Hope supports them and those who are moved to get involved in foster care. I hope that you'll join us for this great conversation. Today's episode is brought to you by Morningstar Christian Bookstore, New England's local full-service Christian resource provider, with locations throughout the region, including our North Attleboro location at 100 East Washington Street in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. You can find hours and directions to the store nearest you and shop online at morningstarbookstore.com. Let's go now to our feature conversation about how God is using duffel bags filled with comfort items to encourage foster children and point them to their heavenly father. Here is my conversation with Kim Gagne. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with Kim Gagne, who together with John Gagne are the founders for Bags of Hope, a nationwide project of His Providence Church in Swansea, Mass. Bags of Hope annually provides duffel bags to children in foster care, embroidered with their name and filled with age-appropriate comfort items. You can connect with Kimberly and learn more at bagsofhopene.org. Kim, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation today.
Thanks. So happy to be here.
We can't wait to hear all about Bags of Hope and what God has shown you through this ministry. First, I'd love to hear a little bit about your testimony. How did you come to faith in Jesus Christ?
Sure. Well, I got saved at a really young age, grew up with a family and local church, and just really caught vision of all that the Lord has. Later moved into missions work that really led to where I am today.
So cool. How did God prepare you through your life journey for what you're doing now?
So when John and I, even as teenagers, went off into the missions trips with the youth groups, I was exposed to nursing through free clinics overseas and also exposed to orphanages for the first time. And I think that's where those little things were instilled as children. As we grew, John and I always talked about foster care and nursing. I later went on to become a nurse and have done nursing for the last 18 years. But then that orphan care, foster care piece just really had always tugged at our heart. And that's really where that seed was planted.
Wow, incredible. I want to talk a little bit about this ministry. You're the co-founders of Bags of Hope, and it's a nationwide project, not just here in Massachusetts or Rhode Island, but all over the country. Can you talk a little bit about why Bags of Hope exists?
Sure, absolutely. So John and I, we had one baby born to us shortly after we were married. And when she was around 2 years old, we decided we wanted to foster or adopt. And we started the licensing process in the state of Massachusetts. And as we started that process, we were placed with an 11-month-old baby boy who needed an adoptive home. And in the classes, they had talked about how kids throughout the country move through the foster care system with their belongings in trash bags. And to be totally honest, John and I didn't believe that that was the case. We thought that must just be a rumor or a myth in the foster care world.
Yeah.
But we always talked about it. When we went to pick up our first little boy, this 11-month-old child, we went to the foster home, and when the foster mom handed him to us, she said, "I have to grab one more thing from the basement." She ran downstairs and she grabbed a trash bag that he had traveled through five different foster homes with. And it was that car ride home that we were like, we have to do something. What can we do to make an impact on these kids as they travel through foster care? And that's really where it all began. And that was about 11 years ago.
Well, that is an incredible story. So that was the motivation to get Bags of Hope started.
Yeah. So that Sunday morning after we picked him up, I met with a small group of friends at the church and said, we have to do something. And we stood up on a Sunday morning and said, we want to monogram, embroider some duffel bags for kids in foster care. Does anybody want to help us do about 30 kids? People raised their hands and stepped up to help. That was the first time Bags of Hope started. Wonderful couple in the church. They owned a embroidery shop in Warwick, Sandy Lane Sports. And they said, we'll embroider all the bags for you. And it started like that. That was about 10 and a half years ago. The plan was for 30 bags, and we just wrapped up about 32,000 bags in total this year.
Wow. So 32,000 bags. Incredible.
Yeah.
What time of year does this take place? How long does it take? And then where do the bags have to go in order to get them to the kids?
Sure. We actually deliver the whole month of December right here from our Swansea headquarters. And we have delivery days scheduled, wrapping days, packing days scheduled out. So you can go to our website or Facebook page for all the packing information and how to get involved. And we will get that out to you. And you're welcome to join us in those deliveries. It takes a lot of hands. We often have 6,000 plus bags lined up down the halls that need to be delivered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is a lot of bags.
Yeah.
No wonder it takes so long to get them all.
It does.
It must look like a venerable assembly line.
It does, for sure.
So for a project to get off the ground like this and to continue as long as it has, you must have had to overcome some obstacles, some challenges. Can you talk a little bit about some of those challenges that you faced as an organization?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the first challenges of foster care and the system as a whole, and as far as Bags of Hope, is just the lack of awareness that not only the church community has, but the community as a whole, to the number of kids that exist in foster care. For so many years, orphans, kids in foster care were left on the doorsteps of churches. And so the problem was really in the face of the church.
Mm-hmm.
For so many years now, it's been in a system that we are very unaware of. It's not in your face. You don't see it on a daily basis. And so bringing that awareness is really the challenge, is just making people aware. There is a lot of kids in foster care. There are a lot of kids that need to be adopted. Bags of Hope has actually helped us overcome that problem, because it starts to bring awareness. As you fill these bags and you see these bags in a room and you have all these volunteers out to help you, they represent a child. And as you look at these bags, you're able to put into perspective exactly how many kids are in foster care.
Absolutely. You're participating in part of the solution.
Right.
Maybe you observe somebody else doing it and you have that conversation about foster care, where if you hadn't engaged in this project, that wouldn't even be on the table. You're saying that the level of awareness, regular awareness in the everyday, is so low that without an event like this,
right,
you don't have people's attention.
Yeah. So we spend from the end of the summer right through Christmas getting names from social workers of kids in foster care all throughout Mass, Rhode Island, and the other states that participate. And they email us over first name, age, gender of a child. We run it through our spreadsheet. The names run through the embroidery machine onto the bags, and then we start filling the bags and we get them all ready to go out the month of December to kids in foster care across the states.
Wow, so cool. They must be happy to see you. They must know you by name or maybe even by face now.
Yeah, it's been an incredible partnership with the social workers, because they do feel alone and isolated in the work. So often people ask about, well, why can't you just do a blank bag? It could go to any kid. It wouldn't have to be so specific, but you know, the Lord calls us by name, and our name is so important. And there's so few kids in care that have something with their name on it, their spelling, something that belongs to them. And as they move from home to home or back to their biological parents or onto an adoptive home, they have something that's theirs that they can hold their special belongings in.
And you're still continuing this same process today.
Yeah.
Of embroidering these bags, filling them with comfort items, and getting them to the organizations that need them.
That's right. And we actually, as those come in, even now across the country, we embroider all the bags right here in New England, and then we ship them out across the country.
Wow. What are the other participating states? Where else are you guys serving?
So we have a large team in Mass and Rhode Island, as I said, Connecticut. We have a great team in Indiana, Northwest Florida, We're on the process of onboarding Texas this year, New Hampshire, North Carolina. We've done some bags in New York, California, just continuing to spread. So it's been wonderful.
Praise God. Yeah. So cool to hear.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the foster kids for a moment.
Yeah.
We've already mentioned your experience in fostering a child and the motivation that you had to start this organization. What are some of the greatest challenges that the foster children at large have, and how has Bags of Hope been able to aid them in overcoming those challenges?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I probably should have mentioned that after that fostering adoption story that started Bags of Hope, we did go on to adopt a total of 5 kids out of foster care.
Oh, wow.
So it didn't end there for us. But I think that what I would say the biggest obstacle for these kids are that they have no voice. They have no one to speak for them. They can't make a public service announcement that they're in need of a home. They have no way to notify people that they're in need of a home. They just exist within a system that they're hoping a forever family will come along or a safe home for them to be fostered in. And there is a massive need for homes. These kids are out there waiting for these forever plans. And so they don't have a way to advocate for themselves. So I think that that's one of the ways that we really hope that Bags of Hope is working, is just as a way to speak for kids that have no voice.
Now, when you talk about bringing on a new state or a new area on board for Bags of Hope, practically speaking, what does that look like? What does the process look like for engaging new people and getting them involved in Bags of Hope?
Yeah, so basically we just need a willing team in another state, church, community that's willing to take this on. And we just mirror the exact process that we do here in Mass in Rhode Island. And they seek out their local Department of Children and Families. They get a list for us. They email it over and we start printing their bags, ship their bags out to them. They fill and wrap all the gifts there in their home state within a church or community center there. And then they deliver them out to the offices for Christmas.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So it's just a simple.
Simple. Yep.
So cool. What advice would you give to a person who has become aware of the foster care need, the need for more homes to adopt children, and they want to make a difference? You've probably learned quite a bit after having fostered 5 children and then been involved with Bags of Hope, perhaps heard stories of so many people taking the initiative to be involved in foster care and the solution. What would you share with them?
I think that, the Lord has called each one of us to care for the orphan. That is a directive in Scripture. And I think that no matter what you're feeling as a tug on your heart, just to seek the Lord for exactly what He has for you personally, for your family, you may not be in a season where you could foster or adopt, but you can always do something. So whether it's praying for kids in foster care, whether it's coming alongside of a family and being a child care provider for them so they can have a date night out, whether it's bringing meals over or providing a set of bunk beds or helping with Bags of Hope projects like this financially, there is a spot for everybody to care for the orphan. And I think that if we all work together, the Lord's called us to those different pieces. And I also think always keeping an open mind to what the Lord's asked us to do in this way.
Mm. I hear you talking about Scripture, and that Scripture comes to mind. Religion that God sees as acceptable is to care for widows and orphans.
Yes.
And to keep oneself being polluted by the world.
Yes.
That's got to be big on the list of passages that you guys lean on for a biblical foundation.
Yeah. Even before Bags of Hope started, when our journey with foster care started, to be honest, it was that Scripture that just jumped off the page at me one day that just, I thought, how have I not read this before? How have I not received this before? But I thought to myself, there's all these denominations and churches fighting over what's right, what's not right. And right here in the Bible, it says, this is what pure religion is caring for the orphans and the widow in their distress. And, that really is something that we try to live out on a daily basis. And we have truly seen so many incredible things through this work.
Mm-hmm. Amen. What other passages of Scripture do you guys come back to? What have you found throughout the Bible that has kind of guided Bags of Hope in how they handle this whole project?
Yeah. We focus on He's the father to the fatherless.
Amen.
being that for this community of kids, being somebody that is in their lives that just shows them who the Lord is, who leads them back to their identity in Christ. And that's really where they start to find their solid foundation. So many of the kids in foster care have never even seen what a father looks like or a family looks like. They have lived in so much dysfunction. Even if they're not adopted, even if they're fostered by an incredible family through their teenage years and transition off to college, we want them to have experienced the love of the Father.
Yes. Amen. Receiving a gift. I mean, that's one of the key ways of expressing love to someone, especially someone who doesn't have the means to get these things on their own. And imagine it's a surprise, too, for the children to receive these bags. They may not even know that they're coming, and much less what's in them.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of thought goes into what goes into these bags. You have the name, you have the age, and maybe not a whole lot of other information to go off of. Talk to that experience a little bit. Do you feel like people are inspired to give and to encourage, even if they're never going to meet that child in person?
Yeah, I think, you know, a bag is a bag. It's an item. It's a thing. We don't place a lot of values on things, but we know that one of the most important things we can do is pray for that child that's receiving the bag. So we actually put the first name of every child that we do a bag for on an ornament, a Christmas ornament, and we ask families to pray for that child throughout the year. One year we were at my parents' house for Christmas. John and I had a teenage foster kid with us that was just staying with us for a season. He walks into my parents' house for Christmas. This is years later. And he looks up on the tree and sees an ornament with his name and age on it from when they had picked up an ornament one time. And they had been praying for him through the years. And now he's at their house for Christmas dinner years later. So many stories like that. One of the first little girls that we ever did a bag of hope for was in foster care, and a couple years later was adopted by a family in this church. And when they went to pick her up, she had one of the original first bags that we had made, which meant somebody in the church had been praying for her. So those stories are endless, because the gift of prayer and interceding for these kids is so much more valuable than any comfort item we could put in the bag. But we do want them to know that they're loved. The bag says this is from your local church community. We want the social workers, we want kids in foster care to know that the church is stepping up for them, that the Lord is calling us to this. And the churches is truly what can change the face of foster care across the United States.
Amen.
Yeah.
You must have, like you said, just countless stories from the people who have put these bags together, maybe even from foster families and foster children. Would you be willing to share a couple more stories with us?
Sure. We've had a lot of stories through the years. One that really sticks out in my mind is one of the big cities locally was having a staffing crisis. They got new leadership in the Department of Children and Families, and the new leader went in and said, okay, we're not going to do any more projects, no more Christmas projects, because you have too much to do on your plate, and so we're going to take that all off your plates. All of the social workers in that room raised their hand and they said, we're not giving up bags of hope. We'll come in on our days off. We'll use our vacation time. We'll do it on unworked time.
Whoa.
And they said, this is so important to us. That day, a police officer that was in the room that works for the department came into the leader's office and said, I know you're thinking about taking bags of hope off the table because the social workers are overworked. I want to let you know, that's the only thing right now that we're using to identify runaway kids and kids that are being pulled into sex trafficking. Because when we see a kid on the streets and that bag is over their shoulder, we know that they're in the foster care system, and it's our one identifier that we're looking for them.
Wow.
And so, I mean, that is not what the intention of the bag was, but he said as of at that point when we had talked to him, he said, we've already saved 3 kids in the last few months that we've found the bag. It has their name on it, and we traced the kid down. And so just those types of things have just been incredible. We've had kids that have wrote to us years later saying that they moved from home to home, and through really hard seasons of failed adoptions and foster care and group homes, and that blanket that comes in the bag is the one thing that they had. That we've had kids that have aged out of foster care and came back and helped us with the project because it meant so much to them when they were in foster care. It's just over and over again, just the Lord uses it in all different ways.
Incredible. Incredible. So cool. I meant to ask you, is there anything that goes into the bag over like regularly that is ministry minded, a Bible, some sort of devotional, something like that?
Yeah, we've actually done a number of different things. One thing that we always put in every single bag is a blanket. And that is because when I went into group homes and foster homes, when we first started the project, I asked kids, what is the one thing you would want if you could be given a gift? And almost every child said a blanket. And they said, because they move home so often, everybody's beds are different, temperatures in their house are different, and a lot of times they have trouble finding comfort as they move. And that blanket can move with them. So we actually spend a lot of extra money to get a really nice quality blanket so that they have something that lasts for years. So that's something that we do as a really special comfort item. As far as sending those messages of just love and the gospel into the bags, we typically really always try to focus on putting a book, like a Max Lucado book, that shares the story of the gospel in a different way that maybe everybody can understand. We've had group homes that we've been able to do Bibles. We've actually been able to put their names on a Bible and send it into certain group homes that are willing to have kids, you know, have a Bible. Anything we can do to really kind of, we did for a long time VeggieTales DVDs years ago in the bags that for the younger kids.
Yeah.
Things like that. We try to get creative with those things. Sometimes we'll do some of those adult coloring books that have the scriptures, things like that. So we try to always send a really positive message through the gospel in a way that's understood by the world.
Have you ever done anything with QR codes or things that the kids can access through a cell phone or a computer?
No, we haven't got that creative yet.
We're experimenting with that's stuff cool. like that at our
yeah.
church.
That's awesome.
And I feel like that would be a really low volume
yeah.
way to provide something fresh that the kids could access
yeah.
later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it was from Bags of Hope directly or
yeah.
if it was a resource that was available,
yeah.
you know,
that's
something
great.
Like that.
Yeah.
Well, I could tell that you have a great passion for this
yeah.
and that it's been a great portion of your life that you've devoted to Bags of Hope, which is so awesome. If you could recommend three people, three books or resources to people who are interested in caring for foster children or learning more about what's going on, something that you feel would be an inspiration or an encouragement, what would you recommend?
Yeah, Three Little Words is an awesome book. I'm drawing a blank on the author right now, but it's a wonderful book that talks about a child's life in foster care. Jamie Finn wrote a book. She runs a great foster care ministry called Foster the Family, and I just got finished reading her book. It's awesome. Tori Hope Peterson is actually coming out our way to speak soon about foster care. She just wrote a book called Fostered, and that's great. The Removed series on YouTube you can find that talks about what it's like to be removed from a biological home into foster care. There's three parts to that series that is just incredible. I show anybody who has a heart for fostering. Really powerful, just a child's journey through the foster care system.
Whew.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Just have a box of tissue ready for any of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to put information in the show notes so that if people are interested in those resources, they can go back and check
absolutely.
Them out for themselves. We've talked about so much, Kim, and just praise God for what He has done through you, your husband, John, and the many people and the teams that have caught the vision for this ministry and have poured themselves into these bags and ultimately the kids that are receiving them. If you could share one thing to engage, equip, and encourage the Morningstar Bright Lights community, the everyday Christian, as well as the greater church in New England, in our nation, and in our world, to shine brighter as lights for Jesus Christ, what would you tell them?
I would say that when, you know, this was first put on our heart to foster or adopt John and I as a couple, we actually didn't know anybody in our community that had adopted locally out of foster care. We knew no one. We knew one couple that had adopted from Russia, and we knew one family that was just starting to foster. Our view of the system was very limited and narrow. And just to give some perspective, since that, this is probably about 12 years ago, since that initial first encounter with us opening the doors to foster and adopt and through Bags of Hope, there was one Sunday recently I went into our children's church program here at His Providence Church, and there was over 40 kids in children's church that Sunday morning that had either been fostered, adopted, or were currently being fostered. You realize that one decision that you make where someone sees that you can do it, and someone catches the vision and someone hears the heart of God, and it just opens the door to so many other kids and the realization of how big the need is. So that would be my encouragement. Just don't underestimate what the Lord can do. And if you're unsure of where to start, please reach out to us. We would love to partner with your church, your community. We would love to create the more families that you can get involved in foster care together. There's such power in it in the community. Would love to partner with that. If you are in Mass or Rhode Island and need to be licensed as a foster home, I can help you make that happen. We can walk through that with you. We can get you licensed. Would love to partner with you. We license folks through Boys Town New England, which is a faith-based organization. We're able to license Mass and Rhode Island families. So if you're local and you would like to do that, we'd love to partner with you for that.
So cool. Yes. And we'll have that information and links in the description and the show notes as well. How can people get in contact with you and connect with you and Bags of Hope and support this organization and what you guys are doing?
Yeah, my contact information is right there on that Bags of Hope website that you mentioned. You can reach out to me there. I'll get all the messages there and partner with your church, your community, your family, and would be happy to work together.
Kim Gagne from Bags of Hope, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. Would love to hear more about what God will do through this organization down the road. God bless you.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Special thanks to Kim for talking with us. If you'd like to learn more about Bags of Hope, go to bagsofhopene.org. That's Bags of Hope, the letter N, and then the letter E.org. All links are available in this episode's show notes. Morningstar Christian Bookstore has an ever-growing selection of books, Bibles, gifts, and more available with direct-to-home shipping on our website. You can browse the selection and shop online at morningstarbookstore.com. Bright lights, together we shine brighter. If this podcast is engaging you, equipping you, and encouraging you to shine brighter in your circles and spheres, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow as we share solutions for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you know someone who is shining the light of Christ in their unique gifting and planting with a heart to bring New England forward in evangelism, ministry, and the abundant Christian life as disciples and disciple makers, we would love to hear about them. Send suggestions for featured guests to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com. Well, that's the end of our time together today. On behalf of our entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thank you for listening. And remember, together, we shine brighter.